Well, this morning we're going to be looking at our actions because, well, sometimes we need to. And what we're going to ask, or what the question we're going to answer more to the point, is does what we do matter? And the superficial answer is that yes, of course. So it's a deep answer, really. But there's some underbrush we need to take care of, first of all. And one of the things we need to remember is, and I realize that there is a certain amount of theological discussion about this, but what we do, once we have moved into a relationship with God through Jesus, what we do can't make that go away. There are some people out there who will suggest otherwise. I don't find their arguments compelling, although I do find it interesting. So when we talk about whether what we do matters or not, we're not talking about it in an ultimate salvation sense. What I'm going to be talking about from this point on is not saying that if you do this or that, you might have to just go and find a way to move into that relationship again because you destroyed it, because you can't. 1 John's got some very interesting things to say about that, and perhaps we'll get there someday. But instead, what I want us to do is, with that as a backdrop, consider the question, does what we do matter? If we make it into heaven, no matter what, to be crass, who cares what we do? If we can't be kicked out, why would we want to work hard at anything that will keep us in? Well, I can think of a number of reasons for that, and they aren't just all religious. One of the arguments that a lot of this hinges on is that once you have children, or once you are a child, which pretty much includes all of us now, we've covered the whole sample, you can't stop that. If, for example, before my parents had passed away, if I had had some kind of very serious disagreement with them and told them I was no longer their son, it still doesn't matter. You can say that till the cows come home. And anyone who's had small children has almost certainly heard it at least once, that I wish I had a different dad, or I wish you weren't my dad, which admittedly is a little painful even when they're young, but still, it doesn't matter. You are still, you're still coming home. We're not just going to let you live in the park. It's not going to happen. But the fact that the relationship can't be destroyed because of its essential nature doesn't mean that what we do within that relationship is irrelevant. What we do does matter. And what we're looking at primarily is out of Hebrews. And there's two points that I want us to look at on whether it matters. And one is for us, and one of them is for God. And the first one is, and I find this so interesting, in Hebrews 13:2, it says, do not forget to entertain strangers. And it doesn't say, that doesn't mean that when you've entertained strangers, make sure you write it down so you don't forget later. That's not what we're talking about. What it's saying is, you need to make sure that when you have the opportunity to entertain strangers, to take care of them, that you grab that opportunity. That you don't just let it slip, you don't ignore it, you don't pretend it's not there. That's something that we do. Well, does it matter? Well, this one matters to us because the writer of Hebrews says, by so doing, some people have entertained angels without knowing it. And the allusion here is to stories in the Old Testament in particular, and I would be surprised if we could take a few minutes just to talk about it, if some of us haven't heard more contemporary stories of the same thing, where people thought they were interacting with just regular folks like us and it turned out to be angels. And it's not just that, well, then you get to tell people, I had an angel stay at my house. It's the blessing that always comes with that. What we do matters. And sometimes it matters very directly to us. Sometimes when we reach out to someone just with a hand of hospitality or kindness or generosity, it turns out that God has provided an opportunity for us to enjoy blessing if we're willing to be generous and to be hospitable. But we do matters, and it matters to us. I figured we'd deal with the crass motive here to begin with, that we should do these things because they can be good for us. There's nothing wrong with us taking care of ourselves. There's nothing wrong with us being aware of the fact that one action is better than another. entertaining strangers can be a useful thing to us. We may receive extra blessing. Doesn't mean we do it all the time waiting for the extra blessing, but it's an incentive. When I'm convincing my child to, first of all, stay in my family and come with me from the park, maybe we say, well, when we get home, we'll have watermelon. We're still going home. That's settled. To push the analogy as far as we can, the entertaining of strangers is happening. But look, there may be something that makes it even better. And the flip side is who else it is good for. And through all this, the stranger who is entertained, who is taken care of, who is ministered to, of course, is a beneficiary, as are we. But then when we drop to the end of our reading, and we read Hebrews chapter 13, verse 16, it says, "And do not forget to do good and share with others. For with such sacrifices, God is pleased." When we do what we should do, God is pleased. And there isn't a sense here, I didn't go into the Greek and take things apart because I don't think we need to. There isn't a sense here that God's pleasure will then flow out to us directly in blessing. Rather, it says that when we do these things, God is pleased. And that's an end in and of itself. My children, the twins, when they were younger, and even sometimes now, which is tremendously gratifying, and Neela, of course, at 7, often make me pictures. Not because I'll give them something. Not because by making this picture later on they'll get to stay up later and watch Netflix till whenever they finally fall asleep. It's just because. Neela will give me a picture because she knows it makes me happy. And it does. It makes everything better. There is no interaction. There is no blessing that comes back in some kind of an explicit way from me to her, except that it makes everything better. What we do matters to God, and not just in some balancing between reward and punishment, but because we have a relationship with Him through Jesus. And when we do good and share with others, it's just as if we've made Him a picture. We picked a flower for Him. We cleaned up our room just because it would make Him happy. What we do matters. It always matters. And we know that in many senses already. But the writer of Hebrews has taken the time to help us remember that it matters in these two ways. That sometimes it matters in a profoundly breaking in kind of divine into the regular world way, where sometimes what we do thinking we're reaching out to someone just like us turns out to be so much more than that, which becomes a blessing for us. But that what we do also can become a blessing to God. When I first started reading the Psalms and paying attention to them, I'd read these lines about how the psalmist would bless God, and I thought, well, how does that work? He can't bless God. God provides blessing, and we don't annoy Him. It was the entire level of my spirituality at that time. And as I said before, I think of all the wonderful reasons why God gave me children was to provide me an insight into Him that I would never have gotten any other way. And to realize that, yes, your children can bless you in ways that no one else can. We can bless God. We can please God. When we make the sacrifice to minister to those around us, not forgetting to do good, to share with others. And the writer of Hebrews makes it very clear that this is a sacrifice. Maybe it's a trivial one in the grand scheme of things, but it's still a sacrifice. God is pleased, and we've blessed Him. Most of us, just being the kind of people we are unlikely to not help when we can. We're the kind of people who when someone needs assistance, if we can provide it, we do. this is on top of that. This is a reminder that as we do those things that we would do anyway, and perhaps even more so now, as we've moved into that relationship with God, the Holy Spirit has come within us and fanned into flame the best parts of us while helping us push those other parts away. That even as we do that, there's things on top of that. The opportunity to sometimes have that break-in, that angelic, divine break-in might happen to us. And no matter what, we can bless God. In a long time, since my mother died, and not even a while since my dad died, but even when I was an adult, they were, of course, still my parents. I can remember doing things just because I knew it made them happy. Made me happy. Made them happy. You get this wonderful virtuous circle that happens. And we can do the same with God. God is not so far beyond us that there is no connection whatsoever. God enjoys our blessings that we provide to Him every bit as much as we enjoy the ones He does for us. So as we think of what we do, and as we occasionally ask the question, does what we do matter? Here's a couple of more reasons why you know that it does. It matters for us. It matters obviously to the people that we work with and we minister to. And it even matters to God. Amen.